This podcast is very not safe for work. This episode of Friday Night Fan Fiction was originally published on the Nerdy Show Network.
Your turn to read, Steve-O said authoritatively.
Garrett complied.
Compliance. Had a chance, Tony said, obviously.
All right.
No, you said settingly.
Tony yes. said using his mouth.
Mouthingly.
Okay.
I am literally right. crying.
Literally.
The literary world is filled with thousands of brilliant tomes, undiscovered jewels of knowledge and insight, ethereal texts of beauty and heartbreak, bearing the soul of the human condition. These works are just waiting, begging to be told. The stories herein, however, are not those kinds of works. Tonight, prepare yourself to witness a battle of the ages. In this corner, the men and women known only as Nighthorse. With their combined intellectual weight and steadfastness, they steel themselves for the slaughter to come. And in this corner, from the dark dredges of the internet, the worst of the worst kind of literary abortion, fan fiction. Bad fan fiction. Fan fiction so terrible that to even approach it is to go mad. The battleground, dramatic reading. The weapons, alcohol. Inebriating substances which, when our readers make mistakes and fumbles in their recitation, will be imbibed in order to preserve their mental stability. The winner is determined by who falls first, the selection of fan fiction or a member of Nighthorse. This is Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Don't say that because
it's really not that bad. It's pretty much
what's just, really not that bad.
Yeah, it's not the number of bio verses.
I'm talking about you. You're pretty bad.
Oh my god! Fuck you, Logan.
It's not the number of bio verses. It's just the content within them. Like, well, they're all bio verses that say things like, you know, women be subservient to your men.
Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Friday Night Fan Fiction. It's fan fiction.
Starting it off right.
Friday night. David,
what's our mature warning for tonight?
I have a headache.
You told me you wanted to do a new one every show.
I have a headache.
Warning, may cause headaches.
Oh.
Yes.
This podcast is rated M for mature. Now go to bed. I have a grown-up headache.
Mommy has a grown-up headache, Genie. Why don't you take the boat out for a while? Anyways, tonight we're going to be finishing up Hogwarts School of Prayer and Miracles. Tonight I'm joined by Brad, Sean, Tony, Roy, David, Logan, and our referee, Val. I am Steve-O, and we're going to jump right in.
Don't jump.
What school of right. miracles?
Let's start this off the back.
Thank you.
All right, so wait. Just a quick summary. Where were we last time? Harry got picked up by Hagrid, who was just randomly going door to door talking about Christ.
Oh my god, I literally said all of this.
But it wasn't on camera.
Yeah. I know, but
all right,
if you really want to know.
Last time, I believe Harry decided he wanted to become a Gryffindor hat.
Yes, he did. So he's away. The Dumbledore is a Southern reverend, and Hermione's his daughter now, and Ron worships idols, and yeah. All right, Logan, chapter 9.
All right, chapter 9. A letter at dinner.
Ooh.
Author's note. Hello, friends. I apologize for how long it took to get this chapter out, but I have... There's a hyphen there. I don't know how to read that.
Oh, yeah, she really likes her hyphens.
I have good news. Starting tonight, I will be taking a beginner writer's course at the local community college. Through all the hate from evolutionists, feminists, and Romanists. Damn it.
Old proper nouns.
Romanists.
Not even through the author's note, and already drinking.
And there has been some legitimate criticism of my writing skill. My mother did her best, and she certainly did teach me a lot, but grammar was not her area of expertise.
No kidding.
That's not why people are criticizing.
Semicolons definitely weren't here. It's taken some convincing. The hubby wasn't sure I'd have time to get everything done if I started taking this class. But I've written up a schedule. Semicolon. And I think we can make it work. Smiley face.
Are we reading? Because
you know, I needed to ask. I needed to ask my husband's permission to do things.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I am going to point out unnecessary semicolons.
That would be all of them.
Yes. 1 week into the school year, Harry was slowly, gradually starting to get used to the everyday routines at Hogwarts School of Prayer and Miracles. There was breakfast in the Great Hall every morning, unnecessary with semicolon, and then there was a prayer session led by the Reverend. The Slytherins went off to have their own prayer sessions in their own way, semicolon, and the Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws prayed with the Gryffindors, semicolon, but the Hufflepuffs complained about the Reverend quoting the Bible, semicolon, and the Ravenclaws complained that the Reverend didn't seem to really hate sinners, semicolon.
He just hated sin.
End parenthesis. After the prayer session, semicolon, the little ones all went to their classes. Their regular math and English classes, of course. Although they were of a higher caliber than one would find in a public school. And then there were Bible studies and Christian history.
No, so there was nothing.
I'm going to be really tired of making this hyphen noise at the end of the night. After that was a lunch in the Great Hall. After lunch were three more classes about American history, semicolon, and constitutional law, semicolon, and missionary training.
Where you learn how to get fucked.
Yeah.
What?
After these classes was dinner in the Great Hall, semicolon, after which the students had free time. It was just such a dinner that Harry was eating now. He was sitting with his new friends. Oh my god, a correctly used colon?
It's not a semicolon. It's an entire one.
I'm 29 years old and I still haven't learned to correctly use my colon, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie.
I do.
Ronald and Dean Thomas. This food certainly is delicious, Harry observed gratefully, semicolon. And he was savoring a bite of perfectly roasted chicken.
Wasn't fried. How, Dan?
It really is, Dean Thomas concurred intelligently.
Thank God it was an intelligent concurrence.
I know, right?
He was dressed quite respectably today, semicolon, and he was wearing a button-up shirt and clean blue jeans, semicolon.
He was being...
And his hair was neatly combed.
Sorry. He also didn't know how to use his colon.
Okay, I'm gonna break the rule, but I need to point out that Dean Thomas, the one black character in the Harry Potter universe, every time he's mentioned... She will point out how intelligently he's speaking and how he is dressed well and clean.
What's that, Dean? I thought that was someone else.
No, Dean Thomas is the black
one. Dean's the black one.
Yep.
I know there was another guy who did the commentary.
She will go to great pains to describe how intelligent his speech is and how well-spoken he is.
Oh, wow. You're so well-spoken.
And so exotic.
Hermione nodded in agreement. Semicolon, and the yellow bow she wore had tied her hair bounced up and down. Ronald grinned widely, but remained silent as he shoved another handful of deep-fried Brussels sprouts into his
mouth. What kind of school is this?
Deep-fried Brussels sprouts? Seriously?
Ronald ate breakfast and lunch with his family, semicolon, but he was eating more and more dinners with these Gryffindor friends of his.
Or hats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It never ceased to amaze him how nice they were to him, even though he wore a different hat. A little unconventional friend can really go a long way in a person's heart.
And pants.
It was then that a bunch of beautiful people with wings, wearing glowing white robes, swooped in through the Great Hall's huge windows. Yellow halos hovered over their heads, semicolon.
Oh, God.
And they wore brown leather satchels around their shoulders.
The PCP really started to kick in at that point.
Where will you be when the ecstasy hits?
They gracefully reached into their satchels and gloriously flung envelopes down to the students below.
Flung?
Those are two very conflicting verbs. Yeah, gloriously and flung, because when I picture somebody flinging something at somebody, it's always in the context of, like, a sibling. Like, he flung the ashtray at his sister's head.
Ouch.
All I can figure is that it's fucking letters from home, like, here you go, Timmy.
How glorious.
The mail's here, Dean Thomas observed accurately.
As opposed to observing inaccurately, the mail's here. Bullshit, it's totally not here.
Semicolon. And he shielded his eyes with his hand as he gazed up in wonder.
To avoid being hit by the envelopes.
I'm really glad the angels of heaven have nothing better to do than bring us our letters. If only there was such
a... God, if God is the kitchen bitch...
Oh my Dawkins.
Oh, that's right. So that was the other thing I didn't mention, Tony, is that
the
atheists pray to the Dawkins, and they believe in science, socialism, and birthdays. Christians don't have birthdays.
They're of the Dawkins.
No, they're of the Satan.
What the hell did I miss?
Some kind of Puritan? Are we sure this is some kind of Puritan, not a Jehovah's Witness?
I don't know.
Because we've described jeans, a tight, button-up shirt, and neatly combed hair.
And Dean Thomas.
Harry propped his chin up on his hand and dreamily watched these magnificent postmen distribute their wares. He did so love to look at angels. He was surprised when a letter fluttered down to him, semicolon, and it landed lightly on the table in front of him.
It had wings.
He had
drunk a can of Red Bull first.
He smiled innocently at the angel who delivered it, semicolon, and the angel waved back. Would you look at that, Dean Thomas uttered fluently.
No. I will not look at this.
Finish the sentence, and I think we need to address that.
You got a letter, Harry.
Okay.
So you got a letter.
The implication...
You're so smart, Dean.
You learned a new word.
Look, you got kiss.
No, Dean, no. That's not how you say that, Dean.
You got a letter, Harry.
You are a disgrace to Dave Thomas and the entire Wendy's chain.
With excited hands, Harry broke the seal and took out the parchment that was inside the envelope. He laid it out on the table and saw the familiar, slanting, tidy handwriting. From Dear Harry. How are you enjoying your first week at Hogwarts? I hope you're enjoying it a lot. How about you come over for tea this evening after dinner? Semicolon. And you can tell me all about it.
Hagrid does not have tidy handwriting. No. He's the last person who has tidy handwriting.
I believe
Harry smiled as he folded the letter and put it back in the envelope. Good old Hagrid.
Oh, that guy.
That guy who came and stole me from my family.
What does it say, Harry? Hermione questioned shyly, unnecessary semicolon, and she played with one of her smooth, lovely curls.
Oh, baby, I'm getting into this.
Hagrid wants me to come over for tea, Harry reported excitedly. Would you all like to join me? I'd love to, Hermione replied sweetly. That sounds like fun, Dean Thomas responded eloquently.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He's just like, oh, Hagrid invited me. Let me invite everyone else.
I provided a sentence that had a subject and a predicate. That is an eloquent use of the English language.
Oh, yes.
Brad, that's perfect. Semicolons everywhere.
Yes.
Could I come? Ronald asked tentatively after he had swallowed his Brussels sprouts.
And gained 10 pounds.
Harry, Hermione, and Dean Thomas exchanged a knowing look, semicolon, and then Harry answered kindly, of course you can. Ronald smiled gratefully before going back to his Brussels sprouts.
He was now 400 pounds.
When dinner finished, Harry got to his feet, semicolon, and then he declared boldly, let's go!
Somebody get the wheelbarrow for Ron.
and then people around him said, where are you going, Harry? Oh, we're going to have tea at Hagrid's. Oh, can we all come? Sure, you guys.
And every hat showed up at Hagrid's place.
Hey, Ronald.
Party!
Jesus, man.
All right, so Tony, you're next.
Also, they wouldn't need the wheelbarrow. They would just pray extra hard to God. Hey, God. Can you wheelbarrow Ron to Hagrid's house?
And then they start to lift Ron up very slightly, and it's very obvious that God is struggling.
You know, instead of, asking him to make him thin again.
Also, Tony, you have an admirer named Roswell who says that he's happy that you're on the call.
Hello, new Roz. It is a pleasure to see you. Okay. So let's do this thing. I've actually got a little bottle, yay! Johnny Walker Black.
Johnny Walker Dean Thomas.
Indeed. Now, I can't promise we're going to do the same sort of hyphenating. Ha,
no, don't, please, please. That's too much already.
However, I think I will continue in the trend of unnecessary semicolon announcements. So, author's note.
Hello, friends. Sorry this chapter took so long to post, semicolon. But
The instructor of my new writing class was kind enough to proofread it, that poor bastard, and I didn't take...
Reread that from proofread with those hyphens.
Was kind enough to proof-read it, hyphen, I didn't take all of his suggestions, but I liked most of them, hyphen, and I hope the wait was worth it. Oh, and another thing, hyphen, a few good hyphen intentioned, open paren, but misguided, close paren, readers have expressed concern, open quote, close quotations, about my asking my husband's permission to take a class. Friends, colon, it is not long ago, it is not present tense when it should be past, thank you, that I would have thought the same thing. Culture told me that wifely submission was demeaning.
Because it is!
Yeah.
Wifely, semicolon. And I believed it! All I will say is this, colon. Reed created to be his helpmeet.
What? Spelled wrong.
By Debbie Pearl. Life, hyphen, open paren, and marriage... Winky face, close paren, changer.
Oh, that's I thought it was just space, semicolon, close paren, close paren.
Okay, I'm only gonna make this joke once, but obviously it's about ethics in games journalism.
You're terrible.
I am going to try very hard not to make comments on this throughout. Try very hard.
We'll do our best to make the comments for you.
Thank you.
I know you'll get very hard when you try to read this, but just push through.
All right. Christianity, man, Christianity.
No, Christianism.
Hagrid lived in a lovely little house on the edge of the Hogwarts campus. The little ones arrived right on time, and the delicious smell of tea and cookies was wafting outside. Smiling in anticipation, they knocked on the door.
Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Not a semicolon in sight. I'm impressed. It's a whole paragraph.
Hey, comments.
Sorry. Hagrid opened the door and beamed down at them. Welcome, Harry. I'm so glad you could come. And you brought friends.
Oh, so many delicious young boys.
Indeed I did, Harry said, and gestured to the upstanding young fellow to his left.
Again.
This is Dean Thomas, a Gryffindor hat. Pleased to meet you, Dean Thomas said intelligently.
He's great. There hasn't been a semicolon abused yet.
Shush.
Hagrid smiled at the little one. Impressed. Biting my tongue. This is Hermione, another Gryffindor hat, Harry said, motioning toward the girl to his right. Hermione smiled shyly and waved. Charmed, Hagrid waved back. And this is Ronald, Harry said.
Oh, dismissing the redhead.
Ronald looked up sheepishly from where he stood behind the trio.
He was still shoveling Brussels sprouts into his mouth.
He could sense that Hagrid was truly a man of the Lord, in a way that no one in his family, or perhaps the entire Slytherin hat, was. To be in the presence of such piety was humbling for a little one such as this.
He's not little.
Hagrid noticed the green and black hat, but didn't comment. Instead, with true mercy and compassion, he opened the door wide to all of them.
I love how there's clear favoritism in the teachers about Gryffindor. Like, all of the teachers and adults in this school just basically think, yeah, Gryffindor is the true house, but we're just gonna, you know, we'll section off the other people and just not comment on it too much.
Glad to meet all of you. Please, come in. The four little ones filed in.
Alright, hold up real fast. I am already imagining, just because of all the shit that we've read that's erotic, him just turning around, bending over, and pulling a goatee, and considering Hagrid's size, saying, please, come in!
The inside of Hagrid's house was tastefully decorated. The curtains were plaid, the walls were wood, and a bear rug covered the floor in front of the fireplace.
The bear?
Yes.
Mounted above the mantelpiece, in a place of pride for all to see, was a moose's head.
God loves hunting.
Still bleeding. I will take a shot for that, making that comment.
That's fine. You're
right. All right.
The oaken table in the center of the kitchen was set for five, and the kettle on the stove was just starting to sing.
Oh, man, mine just whistles.
This is
that's
a nice place.
That's because it's not a goggly kettle.
This is a nice place you have, Harry commented. It really is, Dean Thomas said, intelligently.
Why?
It's not intelligently.
I agree with what he said. I'm intelligent.
Hagrid grinned with pride. One of the sins. Taking another shot.
Yeah.
Thank you. I live by John 15:19, of course, but I do try to keep it tidy.
John 15:19. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you.
What?
Thank you for looking that up. I appreciate that.
It's on the bottom.
I didn't.
It's at,
I don't
it's at
have
the bottom of every chapter, all the Bible.
I used have to have to. Got to. Okay. All right.
I used to. No, she not. She didn't used to do it, like, in the first, like, three or four chapters that they were in. I did have to look them up. Now they're listed.
That's kind of her. Harry, Dean Thomas, and Hermione nodded knowingly.
Ron still ate Brussels sprouts.
In a few minutes, they were all seated at the table while Hagrid passed out his famous chocolate-chip cookies.
I wonder why they're famous.
They munched on the delicious morsels as Hagrid poured the tea. How's school going? Hagrid asked. Quite well, Harry replied. Just then, the timer buzzed. More cookies! The little ones cried in delight as Hagrid got up to get them. While Hagrid was getting the cookies, Harry's eyes fell on a newspaper Hagrid had left open. The headline on the front page read, Voldemort spotted at Hogwarts! And striped everywhere else. Sorry. Would you look at that, Dean Thomas murmured observantly, picking up the paper and scanning it. As he read, he whispered the article's terrible words. Voldemort was spotted by several students yesterday at Hogwarts School of Prayer and Miracles. This is the man who was trying to put a bill through Congress to stop Christians from practicing their beliefs.
What?
If passed, homeschooling will be illegal.
Oh no!
Christians, this is not a Christian thing!
Christians will be put in jail, maybe even killed, unless they say the Bible says what Voldemort wants it to say.
Thanks, Obama!
No, pants, Voldemort!
Saying Merry Christmas or hanging up the Ten Commandments will put you in a re-education program.
Or re-education program, according to Dave.
Dean Thomas sounded very, very intelligent as he whispered the words that were written already.
When Dean Thomas was finished, Hermione burst into tears.
Kaboom!
Harry gave her hair an innocent, friendly pat.
That was not sexual in any way! Not sexual!
Not at all.
How could anyone be so angry?
Hermione sobbed. I don't know, Harry declared, tentatively. He's a horrible person. Remember that for me. I'm coming back to that when I'm allowed to comment again.
Sure.
Dean Thomas nodded sagely and muttered to himself in disgust. First they try to change the Pledge of Allegiance. Now they don't want us to be Christians. Next they'll be killing us all.
It's not like, wow, it's almost as
it's
if you're Jewish.
Bad time. It's a bad time to be a true Christian in America.
Wait, isn't Canada. Hogwarts in Britain?
No,
no, it's in the Bible Belt.
Oh, my bad.
Ronald sat
guilty. I think he muttered to himself in well-learned disgust.
Ronald sat in guilty silence as he watched his new friends fearing for the future. He was beginning to wonder just what sort of hat it was that he had chosen. And Roy, since you went ahead and read the Bible verse, I will refrain from that. Now I need to come back to a certain statement.
Okay.
That Harry declared something tentatively. He declared.
Also, the thing that he declared was that he doesn't know.
Tentatively.
Right.
Which he made a declaration, thereby something that is fact.
Yes.
Tentatively!
Guys, her teacher read over this.
Fact. Tony, she's done this the entire fic. It's not even...
To be fair, from last chapter to this, there is a marked improvement in her writing. You can tell that somebody proofread this piece of shit.
Yeah, there was barely any semicolons.
There was none! Outside of the original paragraph, the author's note was the only place that had a semicolon, which tells me that she didn't have anybody proofread the author's note.
I think her husband did, which makes it really sad.
The chapter Maybe title, he's the one who by the way, was Dangerous
Days. Well, her husband had to make sure that she wasn't saying anything, that she, you know, that she was saying exactly what she was told to, and not anything else. Now, clear this up for me. The Pledge of Allegiance was originally... did not have one nation under God,
no,
but they changed
they added
it
under God like 200 years after the fact.
No, they added it during, if I'm not mistaken, they added it under God, during the Cold War, because it was godless commies.
Yeah, it's godless commies because
religion was banned in communist Russia.
Because the Red Scare, because Gorbachev, because David, as our native Texan, you get to read next.
Why me?
Because we have a request from Roswell to read the entire chapter in a southern accent.
I'm not even southern.
David, you can southern accents, please.
It's chapter 11, right?
Yes.
Chapter 11.
However, the author's note is going to be read is George Harrison.
Go for it!
Oh, hello, friends. The writing class is going quite well, semicolon.
Hi, wacko.
And I stayed after this time to talk to the teacher about my little story, which actually has a comma this time, which he has been so kind about helping me with. He has had lots of very helpful suggestions. I truly think I have been guided to this class by a purpose greater than my own. Smiley face. Another thing that I have gotten many messages about, the Slytherins. People are saying that somehow this means I hate Catholics. Friends, I do not hate Catholics at all. All I want is for Catholics and everybody else to go to heaven and be happy with gold.
I don't
want
to go there.
Do you know... do you want to know who truly hates Catholics?
Liberals!
The so-called Catholic Church. Ironic,
That's not irony!
No, it's not.
Well, think about it.
It is factual!
Why else would they lie to Catholics about salvation? Did you know their leader is a socialist?
What? He's not.
Seems like a certain someone doesn't know much about the Bible or the Constitution.
What does the Constitution have to do with anything?
America, that's what!
Guys, these are some hard truths I'm learning here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, right? It's time to subscribe to InfoWars.
And no others. So, if any Catholics are reading this, I'm asking you this in love. Consider which is more important, your so-called religion or the capital truth.
There's the truth and the truth.
There's so much wrong with that.
Harry, Hermione, and Dean Thomas and Ronald all walk solemnly back to the main campus. They could hardly believe what they had just read. Voldemort on their campus? What would they do if they ran into him?
It's more likely than you think.
They quickly went to their dorms and got to sleep.
That sounds like exactly what they would do. Quickly go to their
dorms. The next morning, the four little ones sat together for breakfast. The spread today was truly delicious. Fluffy scrambled eggs, crispy bacon, home fries, grits, waffles, apples, orange juice, and iced tea. Truly, the blessings today were abundant.
When you can choose to pray for whatever food you want, why would you pray for grits?
Hey, man, them grits is good. It's just like eating sandpaper.
James, do you actually like grits?
Grits are disgusting.
Yeah. Other than you, Dave, who here has actually eaten grits?
I have.
Grits. I hate them.
The only form of grits I have ever eaten was instant grits.
Oh, God!
Which are grits that you get in the box and you just pour water in, and it is just sand.
Instant grits, just like, add dry weight gravel.
I'm gonna get off the beaten path here for just a second. My so-called mother decided to give me grits one time when I was, like, 14 or something. She's like, it's just like oatmeal! I ate it. It was nothing like oatmeal. It was a lie!
The grits are a lie.
Yeah, if you think it's oatmeal, then you add like maple syrup and brown sugar and all that stuff. No, grits don't taste
nothing
good
makes
that.
Grits better.
No, nothing.
By grits adding anything to grits, good. It just makes the grits worse. Because you expect there to be good, and then there's not. Like fucking adding maple sugar and brown syrup to the fucking grits, and it like soaks it in like a sandpapery sponge.
Tonight on OCAD, David rants about why grits are terrible.
Okay. Anyway, back to what we was doing. I still can't believe Voldemort has been seen on our campus. Harry whispered
on
after swallowing
campus.
A bite of bacon. Oh, on our own campus. Harry whispered after swallowing a bit of bite of bacon. Neither can I, Dean Thomas commented perceptively.
That Dean Thomas. He's always got an adverb to go with his verb.
This Thursday on CBS's Oh, Dean Thomas.
I'm scared, Hermione murmured and fidgeted with her fork. What if he tries to kill Harry?
And that bill ain't gonna pass in Congress.
Harry?
It's a very accurate southern pronunciation of Harry. H-U-R-R-Y.
Harry!
In this universe, why does he have reason to kill Harry?
And then he gave her hand a reassured squeeze. And then they both
I'm joking.
Okay, so for the voice of this next person, I really want him to be an antagonist to the South, so he's going to be upstate New Yorker.
or Michigan.
Yeah, I'm just going to make him hoity-toity. How about that?
It's got to be fast.
Make him a Rockefeller, Dave.
What are the four of you gossiping about? A voice said, it was smug and it came from behind them. Harry turned around and saw Draco standing behind him. Draco's hands were folded and rested on his stomach. Behind him stood two other young men dressed the same as Draco tan pants. Brown sweater vest and white button-up shirt.
He's on a riff I'm not aware of.
Draco yes. Draco tan pants. We were just discussing something we read in the newspaper, which is not true because we don't read. We're from the South, Harry said friendly. Would you like to join us? Draco chortled pompously. I think not. You may be comfortable dining with women outside of your family, but I am not. I know that I am better than women. Why would I want to talk to one?
Oh, right. Draco with actually a Ravenclaw hat for some reason, and the Ravenclaw hats are the men's rights activists, of course.
Harry gritted his teeth, like the sandpaper he grits.
Dave!
I'll take a drink. He had had enough of this. So-called feminists these days call everything sexist. A man respecting his woman and providing for her and giving her a children and a home she truly desires is called women-hating. Such silliness can make us forget what real sexism looks like. The truth is women are just as smart as men, semicolon. And God made us as their equals. But equals does not mean the same.
Yes, it does.
Wait a minute, this is also the seventh semicolon.
Hang on, let him finish the paragraph.
Okay.
And we treat men and women as being the same and tell women to go to work all day and forget about their true calling as wife and mother. Then that is the real women hating. And then there are people like Draco who think that God messed up and made women worse than men. And neither is okay.
I like your viewpoints and would like to subscribe to your publication.
A detail that I didn't mention at the start was that Aunt Petunia is,
evolutionist!
On top of them being a evolutionist,
she was a career woman. Sorry.
Yeah, she's a career woman, and that Uncle Vernon was the one who, always working in the kitchen, all sheepish, and she didn't wear makeup. And, she was incredibly transparent about opportunity is the worst kind of woman who cares about her career.
Sounds terrible, but I need to... there's... Equal does not mean the same. Does this right bitch in the have Bible. A dictionary?
Nah, dude, it's right there in the Bible, next to the part about stoning gays.
Listen, if the gays want to smoke marijuana, that's their business.
They don't want to smoke marijuana. They want to get you to smoke marijuana so you catch teen pregnancy.
I'm okay with all of that because teen pregnancy gets me famous.
Adult
pregnancy just gets you stupid shit and bills. Teen pregnancy gets you featured on MTV. Continue.
This is really the most amazing combination of the worst perspective. It's like I am super Christian and thinking that women shouldn't have equal the same rights as men, and also being blind and not even admitting to that and just saying no, but I totally think women are equal.
That's a mean thing to say, Harry screamed bravely, and he banged his fist on the table so hard that the plates bounced.
Boing!
Mr. Snape looked over in their direction, and he saw the commotion that was going on at the moment. He was dressed very dapperly today, in a freshly pressed dress shirt and practical pants that complemented his long, muscular legs perfectly.
What?
Above the top what button of his shirt.
There is so much repressed sexual energy going on.
Have you ever read the Bible? That's pretty much all it is.
No. The best part is the next sentence. He does this with all of the male characters.
Button of his shirt, a hint of the thick carpet underneath was visible.
Everybody's a bear in this fic!
He carried with him a big, heavy King James version of the Bible as he sauntered across the cafeteria.
It was in the shape of a
sauntering
hammer.
And a heavy version. I had a copy of the King James Bible. It is not heavy.
It had to be written in really big font so she could understand what it was saying.
It was the fancy version.
So there's a lot of pages.
All right.
So, sauntered across the cafeteria.
What exactly is going on here?
Oh, come on. Make Snape Southern, too.
Oh. what exactly is going on here?
That's perfect!
No, that's perfect.
That's Michael Caine.
It is very Michael Caine-ish, isn't it? Well, I'm going on here, Master Wayne. he questioned, folding his arms over his chest. Nothing, Dranko muttered in the embarrassed voice of one who knows he has done wrong. But Harry boldly and honestly retorted, Dranko was being a bully to the ladies.
Oh.
With a gasp, Greg covered his mouth.
Greg?
Greg
Snape.
You know, Gregory Snape, that lovable character from Harry Potter.
I don't remember any Gregory Snape.
No, it's nice to see that they kept the alliteration intact.
Detention, Draco. We as Christians must be respectful of women and treat them with the gentleness they deserve as our mothers and sisters and daughters.
As the accent gets more and more nebulous.
No, it's not nebulous. It's not nebulous. It's a little more Dalek.
Mr. Snape grabbed Draco's wrist and led them out of the cafeteria.
Harry smiled holily at the sanctimonious fool. Draco shook his fist.
I'll get you for this, Potter. Tonight, after dinner, in the courtyard we'll have a pray-off.
Robot house! Also,
you
thanks
and me,
a
Potter,
lot.
Tonight,
I'm drinking
break.
To that.
Also, thanks a lot, Tony. Now I have in my mind a pay-per-view special of, was it Snape the Dalek versus Dean the Magnificent?
That is awesome.
You're well, pray.
All right, now, let's be fair. Mr. Potter, explain yourself.
Enunciate.
All right, I'm going next. Chapter 12. Author's note. Hello, friends. I had this chapter all ready to go a week ago after class last Saturday. But then, of course, things got in the way like they always seem to. But now that things have slightly settled down here at Fort Parsons, I thought I would finally post this.
She lives in a fort? Is it a pillow fort?
Unfortunately, no.
The campus was dark when Harry, Hermione, Dean, Thomas, and Ronald walked out of their dormitories. It was completely silent because all the other little ones were asleep. The bright, shining stars twinkled approvingly at the righteous young Christian trio.
I picture Neil deGrasse Tyson as the voice of these stars.
There's four people! There's four!
There he is! Oh, wait a minute. That means that the stars do not recognize Ronald as a Christian.
He's a ginger.
He has a soul.
I'm nervous, Ronald uttered shakily. Isn't this against the rules?
And he became David Bowie.
Harry, Dean Thomas, and Hermione exchanged a knowing look. It wasn't Ronald's fault. It was just how he had been raised. The Slytherin hats do not usually question authority. They think they just need to do what the head Slytherin hats tell them to do. They never think that maybe the Lord's work is important. This is the Lord's work, Harry explained patiently. This is more important.
Ronald, I am going to talk down to you now. Do you understand? I am better than you because I chose a cooler hat.
I also have a soul.
Please read the next thing so I can say the thing that I want to say.
Right? That's right, Dean Thomas said wisely and not...
Dean Thomas. Never Dean. Dean Thomas. Every time.
No, I think the second half of that sentence is more impressive. Continue.
Not a single word was mispronounced.
There's two fucking words!
And not a single one of them was mispronounced. You're welcome.
It's two fucking
Hey, maybe he had a speech impediment.
Maybe he was
a person with a speech impediment.
Thank you for struggling with that. That was perfect timing.
He had dressed quite respectably for the occasion. His face was scrubbed quite cleanly. Any mommy would be proud to have him for her son.
Drinking.
Ronald murmured wonderingly.
I thought you were going to say One Direction.
Try again and have it less sexual. Less.
He had never thought that anything could be more important than following rules, not even the Lord's work. Ronald was starting to ask the big questions. Questions which might just lead him to salvation. Just
the big questions.
Just think what would have happened if Harry had not known to love the sin and not the sinner.
No, that's right.
No.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, what would have happened? Okay, sorry.
Okay, if we could, is there an audio version of that gif of Nathan Fillion just like doing that like whole hand thing where he then just bites his fingers? Because that's what needs to happen right now.
Just then, Draco stepped out from behind a tree. He was wearing yet another sweater vest.
On top of his previous sweater vest?
Yes! And he was very cold.
And he was proudly sporting a Ravenclaw hat.
He evolved and put on another sweater vest. And then he said, "Don't worry, Potter, you haven't even seen my final form yet." And put on another sweater vest.
It's more armor for the prey off.
"Well, well, Potter," Draco drawled smugly. "Looks like you came to the prey off after all." "That's right," Harry answered courageously. "Well then," Draco grinned self-righteously. "Let's pray!" Harry and Draco got down on their knees and raised their hands to the sky. Also, Roswell says in the chat, he's more sweater vest now than man.
I mean, we always knew that it was a hunk of flesh that the sweater vest was controlling.
"I'll go first because God loves me best," Draco declared confidently.
They used declared and an adverb that actually works with the verb.
Yeah.
So proud.
Golf clap.
With that, he shouted, "Dear Lord, if you agree with me that women are stupid and Potter is wrong, please strike him down where he kneels." Dean Thomas and Ronald gasped. Hermione began to cry.
But no, Dean Thomas didn't gasp. He must have gasped intelligently.
Or wisely.
But Harry did not flinch. He knew that he was a man of the Lord. Draco grinned viciously as he looked to the sky for a bolt of lightning, but none came.
I think that's actually an accurate use of a semicolon.
Yep. Maybe.
His eyes widened and his jaw dropped. He began to cry. Now it was Harry's turn to pray.
Dun dun da da dun dun da da.
He raised his hands far higher than Draco's had been, and he screamed in a voice far louder than Draco's had been, "Dear Lord, if you agree with me!"
That's really weird to hear him like double.
"That women are just as good as men, but just different, please!"
But just remember that he's like 11, so imagine that, but in the stupidest prepubescent
place.
Please! For a second, he thought about asking for Draco to be struck down, but then he was overcome with mercy. "Please make him a Gryffindor hat!" In that moment, the hat on Draco's head changed into a red and yellow one with a lion on it. And the
Arr!
And the tears rolling down his face were not sad tears. They were happy tears. The crowd of onlookers burst into applause.
Also, there was a crowd of onlookers.
But Harry did not notice all the cheering students and teachers. He was bathing in the love of the Lord.
Gross.
No, you want to shower in the love of the Lord. It doesn't use as much love.
Yep, basically that.
That was the hat.
That's the hat.
I am confused. Roy, I'm turning to you because you are somehow the expert on this particular fic. Do the hats actually change your outlook on life?
Apparently.
Do they control your brain?
Tony said menacingly.
No,
is there some sort of a parasite that lives within the band of the hat?
Tony sarcastically.
That controls the way in which they behave.
Alright,
Tony said intelligently.
Which is surprising for everybody, let me tell you.
Garrett, it's your turn to read, Steve-O said authoritatively.
Garrett complied. Compliance.
Chance, Tony said, obviously.
Alright.
No, you said settingly.
Tony said using his mouth.
Mouthingly.
Okay.
I am literally crying.
Literally.
Author's note. Hello, friends. Many of you have notified me about the typo in the last chapter. ... Oops! I was feeling so confident in my newfound writing skills last class, ... and I didn't think I needed to ask the teacher to full proofread. Once again, ... Oops! I guess this just goes to show that Proverbs 16:18 applies to us all, Smiley. And that,
Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall.
That's what? Not pride goeth before, it's pride goeth before.
Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride before the fall. Okay, go on.
And that, friends, is why this chapter is so late going up. I waited to post until Greg had a chance to look over it in detail. He says I am definitely improving, semicolon, but he
Wait,
did
Greg Snape?
Yeah, Gregory Snape.
Greg is her teacher.
This makes complete sense.
But he did still have some suggestions. Hope you all enjoy.
So remember how in My Immortal, the author's notes were always way worse written than the actual chapter? It's basically
this
like
is
that.
The case too. Yep.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd say that I miss the My Immortal author's notes. The cheering crowd converged on the two righteous boys. They were led by Dean Thomas, Hermione, and Ronald. Hermione reached Harry first. Joyful tears were streaming down her face, and her lacy pink skirt was swirling around her legs. When she reached
Such
Harry...
weird sexual undertones!
Worse than Japan.
Oh, we're gonna get there. We're gonna get to the sex, right?
No.
What sex?
Maybe
it's Christian. It's okay. We paired this with an appropriate post-fic once we're done.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, we'll get all the sexiness we need.
When she reached Harry, she wrapped her delicate arms around him in a chaste hug. Okay.
That was not sexual, not sexual, not sexual, chaste.
It's the good old Christian side hug.
I was so
scared. Give me that Christian side hug.
She whispered tearfully. Harry pulled away and patted her reassuringly in a non-sexual way.
As opposed to pulling out.
Oh, God.
My girlfriend's losing it right now. She has no idea. He told her, there is nothing to be afraid of. Now when we are all on the side of righteousness. I expect like a guitar lick to play every time I say righteous.
Oh. Righteous!
Righteous, Final Fantasy battle theme win music.
Party on, God. Party on, Harry.
Hermione grinned admiringly. She exclaimed, you're so brave. Harry smiled humbly and blushed and rubbed the back of his neck like a shy schoolboy. He didn't know why, but he felt so different about her than other people. Perhaps it was because she was so godly. But Harry felt
godly
it might be...
Godly hot, am I right?
God, you see that girl last night? She was so godly.
Talking about 11-year-old here.
That's a drink.
Yeah, I gotta. This is terrible beer. But Harry felt that it might be more than admiration that he felt. What was the word? He could not quite put his finger on it. Dean Thomas...
Back away, dumbass.
Dean Thomas stepped forward and gave him a very polite handshake. Amazing job out there. He commented intelligently.
Intelligently? Can we just all read whatever adverb goes with Dean Thomas together?
Somebody had suggested at the beginning of this fic that we read whenever there's the adverbs, or we drink whenever there's the adverbs, and
no, we're gonna die!
That's a whole
But Dean life. Thomas is so many things all at once.
No, but I think we should, because it's always one of the same three things. It's intelligent, it's accurate.
It still wouldn't work because of Skype delay, but it would be fun.
Damn.
I think it might make it even better.
Let's try it. Let's try it for the next Dean Thomas.
Harry smiled humbly. It was a work of a power greater than my own. Dean Thomas shook his head in admiration at how humble Harry was being. Truly, a light was shining in this little one.
And I still imagine the bit from Phantasmus to Fox. It's like, they're practically glowing. I think it's the light.
Ronald was next in line. Tears were streaming down his face, and his nose was running down to... What?
He really wanted to get away from his ugly-ass face.
Ching, you gotta help me out. I gotta get out of this country.
His nose was running down to his chin. He wiped his face with a big, freckled hand. He stuck out the other one for Harry to shake. Harry generously returned the action. That was amazing! Ronald sobbed honestly. How do I be as holy as you?
How do you sob that way? How do you make an insincere sob?
Well, when your nose is running away, you can do it.
Or when you're a mock crying like, oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
That was amazing.
Harry, Dean Thomas, and Hermione exchanged a knowing look. Maybe, they suggested, it has something to do with the hat on your head.
So this is a conformist fucking propaganda thing.
That's really, really, like, sinister.
Like Christianity, like, yes, go on.
The way they say that, it's like, oh,
I read the next
maybe
line.
It has something to do with the hat on your head.
No, I picture it like, I picture it as the three of them saying that in unison, like a children's TV show.
Maybe it has something to do with,
the hat.
The hat
on your head.
It's like better doing that.
Ronald got a thoughtful look on his face. His many siblings were too many for two parents to care for, Wait, that were too many for two parents to care for. Did not like the look of that. I'm drinking for that sentence.
Mm.
There's been a couple of those that just are so long, and like one word changes the entire tone of the sentence.
Altogether, they walked over and grabbed Ronald and pulled him away. Harry, Dean Thomas, and Hermione were sad, but they hoped in their hearts that their words of truth would plant seeds and grow. But before they could think too much about that, a car pulled into the parking lot. You kids are doing prayer shit in here? It did not look like the car was a busy mommy or daddy. What? It did not look like the car a busy mommy or daddy would have. Is she really using mommy and daddy here?
Yes.
No, and wait. I shouldn't have, but I did. Go ahead.
No, this was a small, so-called eco-friendly car. Harry, is she going to come down on eco-friendly people now?
Yep, because they're also evolutionists, and they're communists, and...
Look at those people atheists. Having birthdays. Ugh.
Oh, right.
And Harry, being, like, friendly to the world, like, to the planet.
Because God hates the planet, as we all know. Harry, Dean Thomas, and Hermione looked at it suspiciously. They did not know who would come out of it, but they got the feeling it would not be someone good. The car stopped. The door opened. A man stepped out. He was tall and pale-skinned. He was a younger man with only a thin layer of hair hidden underneath his shirt.
Every single one.
Is this
he
a layer
of, like... He has terrible chest hair. He's evil.
Oh, I have got to be just the devil incarnate to this woman.
He was wearing a t-shirt and sweatpants and sneakers.
Sweatpants?
Excuse me. No one seemed to take much notice of him, but then the Reverend's wife stepped onto the scene. She screamed. She fainted. At the sound of her cry for help, the Reverend Dumbledore came running to the rescue.
He didn't pray God?
So many so-called pro-women's rights people think that Ephesians 5:22-25 is just about wives being submissive. Okay, what they don't talk about is that it also tells husbands to sacrifice for their wives. So wow!
Hang on.
Killing the spider that's, like, running in the kitchen.
No, those verses had actually been referenced before in earlier chapters. And it's basically, saying, wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, love your wife.
She sounds like a one-trick pony.
Yep.
Wow, does that sound oppressive? When he saw the man who had gotten out of the car, he stopped and gasped. Then he shouted, "Stand back, students! This is Voldemort himself!"
Let's break this down for a second.
Okay.
The person who is attempting to pass a bill through Congress who will ban whatever the fuck it's banning that will hurt the Hogwarts School of Prayer and Miracles is a pale-skinned young man who goes around in a t-shirt, sweatpants, and sneakers, sleeping clothes.
Not a lot of chest hair.
In his eco-friendly car. This is the greatest threat humanity has ever known.
Yes.
Yep.
Also, in lieu of me doing a musical interlude like I normally do with terrible lyrics, I've come up with something a little different before we go on to the last chapter.
Yes.
I've Dr. Seuss'd this.
Mm-hmm.
And all around Hogwarts, the children did shout. They boasted and toasted with Christ all about. They knew in their hearts that their words full of truth would plant and pour on the roots that bear fruits. How can I do it? Ron whimpered and said. Tell me how, or my soul will stay dead. The kids, well, they knew the good word they should spread. Maybe it's simply the hat on your head.
Wow.
Aww.
That's actually really impressive.
That was actually beautiful.
Pretty good.
Wow.
Good job, Steve. 7 out of 10.
Fuck off! I'm working my ass off here. All right.
I need to finish the final notes.
That's fine.
Author's note, blessings. Proverbs 16:18.
No, we did the
Bible.
Oh yeah, Roy took it upon himself to read those. Anyways, the final chapter goes to
me. I demand it.
Brad.
No, I demand this.
No, Roy, you're getting the first half of Cloud Mows the Lawn.
No, we're not doing Cloud Mows the Lawn. We already said what we would do the other one.
We're doing the fucking
fine. You get the first half of Cloud Mows the Lawn.
We're doing the Foster's fic.
Okay, fine. All right.
Yeah. Then I can't believe you're taking this from me.
I am taking
although
this
I do
from you. But you
I'm
get
glad I do want to I do want to comment on this.
You
so
did get to
you've seen it before, so you're not allowed to read it.
I just skimmed through it and saw the keywords, but go on.
You read it.
Anyways, author's note. Hello, friends. I have some news, and I know that it might be disappointing to the mommies out there.
We're the only people reading this fic.
My husband and I had a very long talk last night. And he doesn't think that posting my writing online and going to classes is a good idea for our family.
Wow.
I'm the head of the house. How dare you learn things and go to school and become famous online?
It was a hard decision for me to accept, but he does know best. I want to thank all of the many righteous believers who have supported me in this little mission of mine, semicolon. And I hope that this last chapter ties up the loose ends as best as one chapter can.
Book called on account of sexism.
Harry gasps, semicolon. And Dean Thomas gasps, too, semicolon. And Hermione bursts into tears, as Voldemort ambled through the parking lot.
This so is starting off,
this is starting off pretty like my model, with everyone gasping all the time.
I'm just, I keep picturing, like, Whole Foods as being the most wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yes! Yes!
Well, that's true, but...
For different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. The enormous crowd of righteous students were nervous, semicolon, that they stood boldly in the face of such horrifying evil. Dumbledore stood in front of them, protectively and manfully.
Okay, actually, you know what, hang on. Let's just not comment on anything until the whole thing is read, because just see if we can go through this whole thing.
Right. Harry looked at the depraved man walking toward them, semicolon, and he thought of all the lies he must have been told by evolutionists and feminists all his life, semicolon, and he thought of the empty, meaningless depravedness that he would have to distract him from that thing of in his life.
I'm talking so that I don't screw up, said Dean Thomas.
So bad.
Oh my god, I read ahead.
No!
I fucked up.
And he thought of how one day he would die, semicolon. And there would be no happy heaven for him, only the flames of hell. Harry wondered how anyone could be so stupid. Who would want hell more than heaven? It made Harry so angry. Voldemort stopped walking when he was in front of the Reverend Dumbledore. He arrogantly nodded and said, "Hey, my name's Tom Riddle, and I'm here to visit my cousin, which way is the guy's dorm?"
So wait, arrogant nodding, is that like the Jay and Silent Bob nodding? Like,
shush! You gotta try and make it through the whole thing. Come on, okay. We can do it.
Enough of your lies, Dumbledore exclaimed bravely. We know who you are. Voldemort blinked stupidly, semicolon, and then he uttered childishly. I'm sorry. What? Dumbledore smiled smartly. You're pretending to be dumb. I see. Well, I'm not stupid. We know all about how much you hate Christians. What? I don't hate Christians. Voldemort lied dishonestly. What are you dumb? You're still pretending to be dumb, the Reverend pointed out truthfully. We know all about your plot to illegalize Christianity, Voldemort. Voldemort blinked stupidly again and questioned evilly, wait, this is about my Reddit account?
Ah!
There it is.
Is that what you call your godless coven? Dumbledore queried knowingly. Well, yes, I have seen your so-called Reddit account. And just to try to deny your hatred of Christianity when you post things like this. Christians are sacks. Their religion is stupid and should be illegal. I will write to Congress and tell them to make law.
This is like that moment. What?
Hush. Hush. Shriek.
Harry Potter laughed intelligently. Because Voldemort did not even understand proper spelling and grammar.
I will murder you, author.
Never comment after this is over. That was a joke, Voldemort retorted unintelligently. The whole account is a joke. I mean, Voldemort, the righteous skeptic. He laughed with the nervousness of one who knows he is damned. Of course you're not supposed to take it seriously. Do you think religion is a laughing matter, young man? Dumbledore demanded righteously. Well, it's not. What's the joke is trying to outlaw religion. Of course, I don't actually want to outlaw religion, Voldemort uttered deceptively. That would be ridiculous. I just got annoyed by the ridiculous straw man some Christians have made out of atheism. So whenever I see someone ranting about how depraved and evil we non-believers are, I reply with something like that. You know, taking that stereotype to an extreme to point out how ridiculous it is. Also, a small but vocal minority of atheists exists that stereotype and mocks anyone who disagrees with them. They can be just as hateful as people think we all are, and that does real damage. They bug me as much as the straw man arguments do, and they give those arguments credibility. So I do the same thing to them, replying with an extreme version of what they said to highlight the absurdity of it. So you're making fun of atheism? Dumbledore interrogated shrewdly. No, I am an atheist, Voldemort explained sinfully. I'm just as I thought, Dumbledore surmised wisely, semicolon, and he smiled holily in satisfaction that the Lord had worked through him. We have been preparing for this day, semicolon, and we have been preparing for it for a long time. Students!
Launch your bras!
The holy little one stood at attention. Convert him, Dumbledore. Bravely.
That's so bad.
And all at once, the students began to shout. You have been tricked by the lies of society, Harry shrieked knowingly. You deserve to burn in hell. Come over here, Dean Thomas screeched articulately. Debate me on religion. I'm just so upset that you don't accept the Bible, Hermione sobbed femininely. The Bible is the best book ever. Why can't you just respect that? I'm a Gryffindor hat now, Draco yelled boldly with the inspiring zeal that so many newcomers to the faith have. Do you hate me now? I bet you do. Voldemort covered his ears with the discomfort that heathens often find themselves with when they are confronted with the truth, semicolon. And he shouted loudly to drown out the word of the Lord. You have been preparing to do this? To scream at me? It is the work of the Lord, Dumbledore explained accurately. Aren't there better ways to spend your time than preaching to a bored idiot who makes fun of people on the internet?
Thank you!
Voldemort questioned.
Hedonistically.
Thank you. Hedonistically.
Yes.
Your Lord seemed to be pretty concerned about helping the people around him. Is that not his work anymore? How can we focus on helping people when there are people like you trying to destroy us? Dumbledore countered astutely. I told you before, that Reddit account is a joke. Voldemort whined pathetically. No, wait. I told you before, that Reddit account is a joke.
Story of my life.
Voldemort whined pathetically. Semicolon. But the Reverend shook his head. I thought that might be so at first, the Reverend commented fairly, but it was just too realistic. How was it realistic? Voldemort inquired uninformedly. It wasn't even subtle. I waxed poetic about the sexiness of neckbeard.
Woohoo!
Come on, you're almost there.
You can do it!
How could you take it seriously? Dumbledore scoffed, semicolon, and he replied faithfully, like it or not your little joke is what most atheists today are like. So my Reddit account solidified your conception of atheists as a bunch of anti-Christian bigots who are just angry at God. Voldemort solicited stupidly, semicolon, and then he sighed. Okay, you know what? This has gone too far. I'm sure that most people can tell that I'm not being serious, but if I'm contributing to misinformation stereotypes, I don't feel comfortable continuing this. Voldemort pulled an iPhone out of his pocket, semicolon, and he began to type on it. After a few minutes, he showed the screen to Dumbledore. See this? I just made a post. I am a troll. It is the last post I will make on that account. Are you happy? Dumbledore virtuously ignored the heretic. and he turned to the little one standing behind his protection. Students of Hogwarts, this fool will not listen to reason. Let's save this heathen soul. All the little ones got down on their knees, and they raised their hands to the sky, and they screamed to the heavens in the voices of those who knew they were doing great work. Lord, please make Voldemort a Gryffindor hat.
Praise the sun.
Voldemort sighed wickedly, semicolon, and he shook his head godlessly, semicolon, and then he walked away depravedly. But even as the fornicating drug addicted evolutionist disappeared into the distance, the righteous little ones continued to pray. They knew that if they screamed loud enough, they could change the world.
And so Ted Cruz announced his plan to run for president in the 2016 election.
Okay, so the fornicating drug addicted evolutionist sounds like a comics next line, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I can't be the only one who feels kind of like every chapter leading up to this was just for this payoff.
Yep.
Yes. This is a much better troll pick than My Immortal.
This was fucking brilliant. Yeah. Like, I can't even be angry at the other ones anymore. It all made sense. This is like a Chris Nolan level twist.
And the thing is, I didn't know that this was a troll pick originally, so I was going along with it. I was totally on board for this being someone legitimately writing this. And yeah. I said several times last week, this has got to be like the anti-Maya Mortal, right? Because it's, you know, it's all about Christianism and, you know, worshiping God and...
Yes, Christianism,
Satan.
Not even real Christianity, it's Christianism.
This was beautiful. This was fucking beautiful. But I can't even comment on the other shit that was stupid, like Hermione sobbing femininely, because obviously it was done intentionally.
Everything was building up to, aren't there better ways to spend your time than preaching to a bored idiot who makes fun of people on the internet? That was the turning point.
Alright guys, let's move on. We finished Hogwarts School of Prayer and Trolling. And we have Cheese Dies, which is a Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends fanfic. And I would like Sean to start us off.
All right.
Read until the block
you,
of...
You said I was doing the first half.
Okay, fine. Roy, start us off.
God.
Yeah, Steve, I'm still going back on your word.
Roy, just I'm read up the until the big right. slab of asterisks, yeah.
Cheese Dies. Disclaimer. I do not own Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, nor any of the characters from it. I do not make any money from the writing of this story. It was a rainy day. Blue and Mac were sat peacefully watching a horror film. It came from the swamp, or something along the lines of that. They were so blissful, full of chocolate milk set out for them by the pretty Frankie. The best friends both hoped the moment they were having together would last forever. So peaceful.
So full of chocolate milk.
The room was dark, and everyone had agreed to let the two buddies spend some quality time together on their own.
Oh, I'm totally on board with this!
The movie got up to a quite tense part, and Mac giggled at Blue, who was clasping a cushion and barely peeping over the edge, wide-eyed and trembling. Their direction eyes were set on the screen, when right in front of them a deformed figure popped up in front of the screen, yelling something incomprehensible.
Also, from the chat, Pretty Frankie and Intelligent Teen need to meet.
Lou then screamed and shot onto Mac's head in a half second, clasping onto his face like a cat. Blue, get off me, Mac said, irritated. It's only cheese. Blue felt his heart stop for a second, and his teeth immediately clamped. He looked towards the yellow bulb-headed creature. Cheese, dot dot dot, exclamation mark, Blue said from between clenched teeth.
Cheese. I like chocolate milk,
he uttered in his bizarre, annoying voice.
We know,
said both Blue and Mac in sync, and Steve-O. A few moments, select E, then...
I wanna go to the park, I like the park, said Cheese.
It's raining outside, and we're watching a film, you little tit. Scram.
Aw, little tits need the most love.
Parenthetical note. Blue would swear if he wasn't on a kids show. Smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
No! Ever since you imagined that bastard up, he didn't. We've never been able to spend time together. Mac, it's broke my heart. I sometimes even cry at night. Blue immediately blushed after exposing his true feelings.
I expose myself and then blush as well.
We always have to fucking care for him. We want to go down the hill in the go-kart, so he has to come. We were planning on painting flames on it, but no, freaky little retard there goes, "Eh, I like bunnies." Blue mocked Cheese's voice almost perfectly. Blue, I, Mac tries to cut in, but Blue hasn't finished his passionate rant, full of passion. By this time, Cheese is repeatedly harshly poking Mac's head. We finally get to build it, and he gets scared. So we climb out and hold onto our cart.
Carting way.
And gradually let it down the hill until nightfall. I mean, why the hell did we do that for it? Blue does one last furious wave in the air with his little arms.
It's more like just like beep.
Then stops, panting, after the exhaustion of the rant. Oh god, I gotta exercise more, you guys. He looks at Mac and feels surprised at his smile. She's still jabbing his head whilst drooling. "We can always get rid of him, buddy," says Mac.
Bum bum bum.
Blue feels himself well up at Mac's final realization of what is the right and true thing to do to the demented little yellow fucker that is Cheese. I have to read both of them as everyone is the fucking Terrence and Philip from South Park. "Let's go to the park, Cheese," says Mac enthusiastically. "Yeah," yells Cheese, punching the air. Blue and Mac both snigger.
What the fuck?
Asterix, 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 asterix.
Sean, you're up.
Ass.
The rain is icy cold, and the sky is gray and murky. "This weather and what we're about to do reminds me of a film with a clown," says Blue. "Yeah, what is it?" asks Matt. "I can't remember, but basically this kid gets killed by a clown, and it's raining. We're about to kill Cheese, and it's raining." They both laugh. "Yeah, but we're not clowns, Boo." More laughter. Max got Cheese zipped up in the backpack, the little hole in the zip-up part so it can breathe. They want a much better death than just letting him suffocate.
Whoa, this got morbid fast.
It's called Cheese Dies, man.
Yeah, but maybe it was an accident. Wait.
It's screaming and moving around violently by now, yet too weak to break free from the bag. Blue sniggers.
That's struggle racist!
Struggle all you want, Cheese. You're not gonna get out. And just think, you used to scream at the simplest things, didn't you? Like when you never got what you wanted, causing stress to everyone, getting everyone to run around just for you. Blue lowers his head, his eyes closed, letting out a deep, quiet laugh. Well, now.
Hey.
Well, now, you can see that there's bigger things to worry about. They arrived at the park with the stream and the bridge. So pretty on a sunny day. Blue unzips the bag and pulls out Cheese from his neck. "You're an ugly, retarded, evil little brat," he screams in his face. Cheese opens his mouth to yell, scream, but it's too confused to do anything. Blue crushes its bulbous head back in the bag and puts it on the floor and kicks it with all his might. He hears the whiny screech of Cheese in pain and smiles. Mac joins in. They both pant with adrenaline, anger. Blue mostly felt relief. He thought about when they got back home, pondering up an excuse after the few days they realized Cheese is missing. Surely no one will miss it. He thought they could settle back down, him and his creator, and watch horror films and drink chocolate milk, never to be troubled again. They see a red stain emerge from the bag. A few seconds later, the bag stops moving, apart from little twitches. Blue picks up the bag, struggling but glad to. He feels the damp patch of Cheese blood and shudders.
Cheese blood?
but is glad it's there. Blue drops the bag over the side and into the water. He looks at Mac and sees his face. His pale white and sweating. A tear runs down his face.
Hold on a second. Isn't Cheese blood curds? Isn't that a thing?
Wah wah. Yep.
That I've... Mac choked.
Chalked.
Chalked. Yep. I've never done anything like that before. Neither have I, Blue replies, but perfectly calm, unlike Mac. Blue winds his arms around Mac's neck, holding him close. The freezing rains...
Closer. Their breaths mingle.
No!
Oh, wait,
right. No!
No!
That's
no.
another, that's another thing. Kiss.
No, that is, and it's not even 9:30, so we're gonna...
Would you like to do something else that you've never done before?
We're gonna plow through Cloud Mows the Lawn after this.
Plow?
Okay. Yes. We're gonna mow Cloud's lawn.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Whoop-de-doo!
The freezing rain splashes gently off Mac's raincoat and Blue's blue. They're both shivering. It's very quiet.
I'm sorry, but I don't think freezing rain can do anything gently or comfortably. That's not... No.
That's hail.
Yeah. No.
Well, he's imaginary.
Imaginary rain.
Imaginary hail. You're going to hail.
But they both feel a very happy relief.
I said they peed.
After losing that annoying little creature that nobody needed or wanted, Cheese was too hard to look after anyway.
That sucked. Moving on.
No, we're not done. There's the author's note.
Oh, damn it!
No,
you keep not doing these.
Note, I'm sorry if I've offended anyone. It's just I had to relieve myself from my inner frustration about Cheese. He's pointless on that show. I like comments, but I'm really new to this thing. So yeah.
And the description of the fic on adultfanfiction.org is, okay, this story is going to be short, and it might seem pointless to people, but I really want Cheese to die!
Yep. All right, we're going to do this hot seat style.
Dat Frankie Doe.
So it's going to be each paragraph, but for the second paragraph, it's going to be split in half. First, we're going to have Roy.
Cloud Mows the Lawn by Rasso. Tifa knelt by the window with her arms were rested on the windowsill. She sighed in contentment, gazing outside. Cloud was out front mowing the lawn. The end. His shirt was off, which was a big turn on for Tifa, his wife of 2 weeks.
Thank God they're married.
Tifa laughed as she realized she could stare at him all day.
Because now they were married in the eyes of the Lord.
She was rather sad he would finish eventually. Well, it's not like he can hold on forever, but as soon as you come, she's out. He worked out every day, and his chest really showed that. He was the sexiest man Tifa ever saw, if her fan art was any indication.
Hey.
That didn't make Tifa fall in love with him, though. They grew up together, and they had secret crushes on each other throughout adolescence. Cloud proposed to her the day after their long adventure, and she immediately accepted. She would never forget that moment, when she felt like she and Cloud were alone in space. They married a week after he proposed, and were rarely seen outside after that.
Tony!
For when he's mowing the lawn. Anyways, back to the story.
I love it how he actually says he got derailed!
Tifa was in the master bedroom on the second floor of their new house, watching the man of her dreams cut the grass. Do we want an accent for this?
No, just normal. Hot seat, we're doing it.
The 20-year-old woman was watching him mow the lawn for the 7th time.
Today.
She has no.
It was a hobby of hers, and the fact that they had a huge yard and that it would take Cloud an extra long time to cut it. Watching how strong he was, she would not move for anything. Suddenly, Tifa felt a slight rumble in her stomach, but she ignored it. She was having too good a time watching Cloud. The best part of the mowing routine was the end, when he would come upstairs to shower. I have to take a drink because I fucked that up. Ah, good burn. Right before he entered the bathroom, she would ask Cloud if they could take a shower together. They would always end up kissing throughout the shower, and they would leave in a better mood than ever.
Okay,
kissing.
Brad.
Kissing.
She was so sure he would let her shower with her that she was not wearing underwear under her black mini skirt. She felt her stomach rumble again and sighed. She really didn't want to leave. She wanted Tata there.
Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay there.
Tay-Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay-Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay-Tay-Tay.
Watching he husband do the yard.
Oh, you sexy grass.
Of course. She knew he would do it again and again and again, but she cherished every minute of watching him. She could not bear to stop.
How does he mow that lawn? Is he, like, pulling every single thing with his teeth?
I
like,
we actually need to subscribe to cable now because the All Cloud Mows the Lawn channel just came on, and, you know, it's great. Got great reviews.
Tifa's stomach rumbled again, louder than the first two times. She realized she had to think of what to do, and quickly. She could run and return immediately, but then she would miss some of the lawn mowing. Her second option was to stay and clean up after herself, but the fear of getting caught made her feel uneasy. This feeling caused her stomach to rumble more. Tifa looked down. The floor was a brand new and a very expensive tile floor. It was not a very pleasant idea for her to mess it up.
David! David!
What?
Your turn.
Read!
Okay. Whatever, muttered Tifa. When a girl has to shit, a girl has to shit. Tifa's black skirt was actually a wraparound. It was very easy to remove. Soon, she was bottomless. Tifa took a deep breath and closed her eyes. She pushed and grunted over again until she felt her anus stretch.
Okay.
This.
Okay, you got one more then.
We've gone from Christian troll fic to to deformed imaginary creature dying to anime girl taking a shit.
This is it, she said aloud while still pushing and grunting. A crackling sound filled her ears as the turd finally slid out of her body.
That was a really powerful hard poop.
Dark brown and it was thunder together, and boy did it stink.
Okay, my turn. Tifa didn't mind the smell of her own droppings, but she knew it would be difficulty to get away with this. With Tifa's shit sitting on the floor, she felt slightly relieved. Tifa let out a long, gassy fart. She giggled, for she tended to have gassy poops.
As you do.
Her relief soon ended, however, as she felt another log traveling from her colon to her rectum. She pushed again, and the turd began to slide out. Unfortunately for poor Tifa, it got stuck halfway.
Oh, gosh.
I'll bet that feels good, said Cloud from behind her. Tifa immediately jumped up in shock. She was so focused on expelling what was in her gorgeous bowels that... Sean?
Cloud finished the lawn and came up to the bedroom. So there she was, standing there, in a white t-shirt, white socks, red sneakers, and no pants or underwear.
White foundation.
And with 5 inches of shit sticking out of her ass in front of the love of her life, Tifa began to cry, and Cloud approached her and hugged her. She didn't care her shit, her shirt. Drink. She didn't care her shirt became drenched with his sweat. She wanted her man.
Garrett!
She even felt a bulge in his pants and realized that her taking a dump turned him on. No, this is different, sorry.
This isn't the Christian one.
She hadn't heard anything until this point, and she's like, what the fuck? To Tifa's surprise, Cloud turned her around and lowered her onto her hands and knees. Tifa was puzzled at first, wondering what he would doff. But that puzzle was soon solved as Cloud guided his dick word. What?
Yep. Dick word.
His dick word, her anus, and the shit that hung from it. Cloud moaned as Tifa's warm poo mashed against his dick.
There's no question mark there.
Honey, I'm sorry.
This should not be funny.
They had had anal sex many times before, but never with a huge turd stuck in Tifa's ass.
Which is, that's weird. It's like all the couples are doing it.
Guys, this is marriage. Suddenly, Cloud's dick set the poo that had been stuck in Tifa's ass free. Tifa's rectum expelled turd. Tifa farted again, and Cloud felt a pleasant breeze on his member.
Right!
Thanks, exclaimed Tifa. Hey, no problem, said Cloud. I'm going to shower. Want to get in there with me?
Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun. But basically, what this fic is saying is, anal sex, it's a great laxative.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I have to go turd, and also Tay-Tay, and Dick Ward. So I think we're gonna call it a night. I'd like to thank all of
our... Turd.
Really night? No. I have to think of 3 different album names.
Dick Ward is definitely up there.
It's a process that I have to go through to figure this out. It'll take a while.
Alright, I'd like to thank our readers. Brad, Sean, Tony, Roy, David, Garrett, and Logan, who ditched for some reason, and Val, the referee, and myself, and everybody who joined in the chat. And we'll be back next week with the 4-part quadrilogy of Half-Life Full Life Consequences.
Half-Life Full Life Consequences.
Walk out, bro!
Oh, I'm I'm going to walk even faster to get away from these fanfics.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Level 99, Fanfic Nation. Level 99, Rolling Thunder, aka Fasto's Adventure Theme. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.